Hi, good morning, everybody. So nice to be here on this beautiful, beautiful Mother's Day. The topic that I chose to speak about today is the topic of friendship. And when I told this to a few people, they told me that it was an interesting topic, and they said maybe I chose friendship because I spend all my time talking to teenagers, and with teenagers, friendship is a very big issue, and certainly I deal with 12th graders who are going off to Israel, and the biggest topic of the year is who's going to be my roommate next year and getting along with roommates. And they said maybe, you know, mature women come to this midrash at Yom Rishon. Maybe friendship is not necessarily the topic. And I explained to them, because of the following two stories, it is very, very important. Story number one that just happened to me a few weeks ago. I was standing in the Bruria teacher's room, and a teacher walked over to me, a teacher that I'm friendly with, and said to me some pleasantry, "Hi, how are you?" And I said, "Good, thank you, how are you?" And she said to me, "How's your little grandson?" Now, Baruch Hashem, I just became a grandmother for the first time, very, very exciting. And my grandson is in Eretz Yisrael. So she was being friendly and said, "Oh, how's your little grandson doing?" I said, "Great, thank God." I said, "Actually, today is his Pidyon HaBen in Eretz Yisrael." And she said, "Oh, Mazel Tov, that's so beautiful. What a nice thing." We spoke for another few seconds. Goodbye. I would have forgotten about this little conversation, except that about 6 o'clock that evening, my phone rang and it was this teacher. And she said to me, "Hi, turn your oven on." I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "Turn your oven on." I said, "Fleishik or milchik?" She said, "Fleishik." I said, "Okay." And I had no idea. I was trying to think, what does she need? Does she need to use my oven for something? I see her pulling into my driveway, getting out of her car, with a huge smile on her face. She's carrying a tray, and on it, she printed out from the computer a beautiful sign that said, "Seudat Pidyon HaBen." And she came with an entire seuda for my family. Chicken and farfel and vegetables. And I was overwhelmed. I was in shock. And she said to me, "I know how hard it is to miss a simcha. And here's a little bit of the simcha for you and your family." Again, I really am speechless when I think, I mean, my kids were standing there, it was the nicest, nicest thing. And I'll tell you, in analyzing it, number one, she did, because the next day she called and said, "How was it?" And I said, "It was delicious, we ate all of it." She said to me, "Oh, I apologize, it wasn't anything fancy." It was number one, she didn't stop and say, "Oh, I can't do it because I don't have time to do something fancy." She made a beautiful dinner and she delivered it. And she didn't ask questions. She didn't call and say, "How many people will be home tonight? And do you want fleishik or milchik? And do they like the top or the bottom of the chicken? And should I put sauce?" She just brought it over and just did it. And I was thinking, what an incredible thing for a friend to do. Just to know and to understand what I could be missing, which we'll talk about, and to just do it. So that's one reason that I wanted to share with you some beautiful ideas about chesed and about friendship. And the second one is that approximately 25 years ago, we know that the world lost some of our greatest gedolim. We know that about 25 years ago, in the same year, Rav Moshe Feinstein passed away, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky passed away. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was my husband's great uncle's cousin, Rav Ruderman, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael. He was, at the time, quite elderly himself. And when Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was Nifter, who was his cousin, he was inconsolable. And it took him a very long time to get over this. And finally, one of his grandchildren said to him, "Zaidi, he was an old man. He lived a beautiful life. He had so many doros and so many Baruch Hashem, children and grandchildren. why are you so sad? And Rav Ritterman answered, he's the last person to call me by my first name. He said, he was my friend. I have, thank God, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Talmidim. But he was my last friend. So even someone who was quite elderly at the time, close to 90, understood the need of a person to have friends. So I said, so I could talk about friends here today also. So I'd like to start with you, if you have the sheets in front of you, with source number one. Source number one is the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, which we read last Shabbos. And it is different than almost any other parsha in the Torah for two reasons. It says, source one, Daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael, ve'amarta aleihem kedoshim tehiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Speak to the entire congregation of B'nai Yisrael and tell them that they have to be holy because Hashem is holy. Two things are glaringly different about this parsha than any other parsha. Number one, the rest of the Torah, it says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe. First God taught it to Moshe. Then Moshe taught it to Aaron. Then Aaron taught it to his sons. Then they taught it to the Zakenim. And they taught it in groups. They divided Klal Yisrael up into groups, and that's how they learned. This one, it says that everybody heard it directly from Moshe. That's the first difference. The second difference is that usually only the men were involved in the learning. Here it says, Daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael, which is absolutely, the Gemara says, men, women, and children had to be there. Obvious question, what is it about Parshas Kedoshim that A, everybody should hear it together, all at the same time, all in one huge group? And the second question is, why do the women and children have to be there to hear this? What's in this parsha? So if you look at source number two, that's Rashi. Rashi says, Daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael, melamei sheneemra parsha zu behakel. This parsha was said in a large group, mipnei sherov gufei Torah teluyimba. Because the most important things in the Torah are written in this parsha. So, it's called Parshas Kedoshim, about how to be kadosh. So if you had to guess, you might guess, oh, it's probably about Shabbos. Nope. Oh, it's probably about Yom Kippur, the holiest day. Nope. What's the most kadosh thing in Judaism? Mitzvos bein Adam l'chavero. The way that we treat our fellow man. For that, everybody has to be there at the same time. Now, we have a question on Rashi. Because you and I know that we all learn better in small groups. So if something is very, very important, you would think that we should get together in small groups. In a large group, I'm going to be embarrassed to raise my hand. I don't, you know, if I couldn't hear something, I'm not in front of millions of people going to ask, could you please repeat that? But in a small group, I would do that. So many, many Mefarshim ask this question on Rashi. They say, Rashi, if it's so important, it dafka should have been in small groups. And there are many beautiful answers. I'd like to share two of them with you, because they're really relevant to our topic. Answer number one is that everybody had to be there because in Judaism, everybody can be kadosh. In other religions, as we know, there are certain people who get chosen to be the holy ones. In Judaism, this is for everybody. Men, women, children, the rich, the poor, the smart, whatever it is, the intelligent, everybody can be kadosh. So that's a first answer, and that we all know. We all say, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosav.
that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to be Kadosh.
But the answer I'd like to share with you is that it's very easy to do mitzvos bein Adam l'chaveiro in our small groups. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want everybody in one large group. I want everybody to look around and be able to get along with everybody. Not just the people in their small group. Not just the ones that they are friendly with. So how do we do this? So let's look at source number three. Source number three is a Mishnah from Pirkei Avos. And it asks exactly this question. Ezo hiderech yishara sheyavar lo ha'adam. So if I'm looking in life to pick a derech, and I want to find a derech that is good for me, and that will really infuse my life with ruchnius, how do I find it? And the Mishnah answers, two qualities you're looking for. Kol shehi tiferes le'oseha. It has to be something that I will be able to enjoy. I have to find something that I'll feel good about. I have to find an area of life that I can do. And number two, and here's the one I want to discuss, v'tiferes lo min ha'adam. And I have to find an area that will cause others to admire me for the path that I've chosen. So, since when do we do things so that others will admire us? Since when are we approval seekers and we're only going to do something because, oh, then others will like what I'm doing? I believe the answer is, and this is what I tell my students all the time, many times they'll come and they'll say, I'm such a critical person. How do I become less critical? I find myself being very critical. Do you have any suggestions what I could do to be less critical? Or, I don't know, I find myself being very negative, very pessimistic. Do you have any suggestions? I don't want to be so pessimistic. And one of my top three suggestions always is hang out with people that are positive. Hang out with people that are not critical. Look around when you're choosing groups of friends, especially going off to seminary, going off to college, starting over. Who are the people who radiate sunshine? Who are the people that when you hang out with them, you feel like you're becoming a much more positive person? That's what you have to look for. So this Mishnah is saying, become a person that others want to be around. And every single day we daven for this. In the Yehi Ratzon after Birchas HaShachar, She'targileinu b'sorasecha v'dabkeinu b'mitzvosecha, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is something that all of us want, that we should find favor in everyone else's eyes. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that people should enjoy being with us. It's something everybody wants. It's not a controversial thing to ask for. Everybody wants to be well-liked. And that's why every single day, 365 days a year, we daven for this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me become a person that is liked by others. And this is what we're trying to figure out how to do today. How do I become such a person? Please now turn to the next page for a minute, to source 12 and 13. Source 12 and source 13, as you see, is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, Vayigdal hayeret, and the child grew, Vativiehu lebas paro, and she brought him to Paro's daughter, Vayihi lo leben, and he became her son, Vatikra shemo Moshe, and she called his name Moshe, Vatomer ki min hamayim ishisihu, because I drew him out of the water. And the next pasuk says, Vayihi bayamim hahem, vayigdal Moshe. And it came to pass in those days, and Moshe grew up. Vayetzei el echav, and he went out to his brothers, vayar b'sivlosam, and he looked on their burdens,
Vayar ish mitzri makeh ish ivri me'achav. And he saw an Egyptian hurting a Jew, one of his brothers. So Ramban, in source 13, asks the question, why does it repeat the word vayigdal, that he grew up? In Pasuk Yud, it says vayigdal hayeled. And in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says vayigdal Moshe. Why does it have to say twice that Moshe grew up? So if you look at Ramban, he says, Vayigdal Moshe vayetze elechav shegadal v'hayal ish. Ki mitchila amar vayigdal hayeled. Shegadal ad shelo hayatzarich legamla oto. The first one is talking about physical growth. The first one in Pasuk Yud was that he physically grew. Ve'oz hevisehu lebas paro vayihila leben. The second Vayigdal is talking about his spiritual growth. Where does Ramban get this from? What's the proof? The second time when it says Vayigdal, it says right after that, Vayar b'sivlosam. He saw their burden. An Adam Gadol, the definition of godless in our religion, is a person of true greatness relates to the needs of others as he relates to his own needs. That's what it means to be a Gadol. This might help us understand what we say at a bris. We know that the phrase that we repeat at a bris is Zeh HaKatan Gadol Yihyeh. This little one should become big. We're not only saying, and of course it is a bracha certainly, that the child should grow physically and grow from a baby to adulthood. We are also saying that right now it's a baby. Babies are selfish. Babies only care about themselves. He doesn't care about anyone else right now. He should grow up to be an Adam Gadol, to have concern for others. May this baby become truly a gadol. And again, our definition of gadol is somebody who cares about other people like he cares about himself. How do you do this? Please look at source 4. Fascinatingly, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in source 4 says, a very famous Mishnah, I'm sure you're all familiar with it, Yoshua ben Prachya and Itai Ha'arbeli kiblu mehem. Yoshua ben Prachya omer, Asei lecha rav. Every person should have for themselves a rav, a rabbi. Ukenei lecha chaver, and go out and acquire for yourself a friend. Veheveidan es kol ha'adam lechavshus, and give every person the benefit of the doubt. It's one thing to recommend having a friend. It's nice to have friends. Kenei lecha chaver? That's a really strong verb. Go out and buy, acquire. Why? Why is it so important to have a friend? So the Rabbeinu Yonah says there are three major reasons to have friends. He says, number one, l'limud Torah. You need a chavrusa. We know that in Judaism, the major way that we study is through the chavrusa system. That's the way we learn Torah. That's the Mesorah we have. That Torah should be learned with a chavrusa. So that's number one. Number two, Rabbeinu Yonah says, to do mitzvos with. You can't do mitzvos bein adam lechavero if you don't have a chaver, right? If you don't have a friend, half of the Torah is bein adam lechavero, right? You can't do it if you're on a desert island by yourself. And the third reason, which is the one I'd like to concentrate on, because I think it's the most nogeya to us, the third reason why you need a friend is for an Eitzah Tova, to ask advice from and to give advice to. We know that we need someone to tell our secrets to. We need someone to ask some of our most difficult problems to. We know that we don't know where we'd be without our good friends. We'll put it that way. I just want to add, since we're talking about asking advice, something to be careful about, and that is that the Chafetz Chaim says, this is in parentheses, but I find it a very important thing to remember. The Chafetz Chaim actually asks this question. He says, if your good, good friend calls you up and she has to ask your advice for something, but that asking you advice involves Lashon Hara, meaning she has to tell you a story in order to be able to ask your advice what to do, how should you react? Are you supposed to listen? Are you supposed to not listen? And of course, the same on us. What if I have a really difficult problem happen to me that involves me, in order for me to ask you advice, I have to tell you the story. What is the halacha? What are the parameters of listening to such a thing? And what are the parameters of actually saying such a thing? So the Chafetz Chaim answers that you can listen to your friend's story under two conditions. Number one, if you're sure that listening to you is really going to be therapeutic. They really need to talk to you. They're not just going and telling everybody this story. They're really calling you because they really value your opinion and they really do listen to you. Then it's a mitzvah to listen, says the Chafetz Chaim. Again, then it's a mitzvah to listen, even though it may involve some Lashon Hara. And the second condition is that this should be the exception and not the rule. Meaning that every time you see her name on the caller ID, it doesn't mean it's going to be a Lashon Hara session. This is an exception. Usually you talk about recipes. Usually you talk about the weather. Usually you talk about other nice things. Today, as an exception, unfortunately, she went through a difficult story, and today she needs to talk to you about this. When you listen, of course, you have to listen with the understanding that you're hearing it from her perspective. And we know that sometimes, especially when someone's upset, they could exaggerate maybe. She's telling you about her intrusive, demanding in-laws. You have to have in mind this is how she feels right now. It's not necessarily what the situation is, but you have to try to see it through her eyes. Don't draw conclusions necessarily. Try to see it through her eyes. So that's just an important aside in terms of what the halacha is should your friend call you to tell you that she needs to discuss this story with you. Now, Eitza Tova, we said, what else can I gain from having a good friend? Why else do I need a good friend? So here's my personal favorite of the sources that I gave you, source number 10. Source number 10 is from the Nesiva Shalom, and he writes in there, Midivrei HaRambam HaMuvaim La'el Mitzvat Asei Lidaveg B'Chachamim U'Tamideihem. It's a mitzvah to find Talmidei Chachamim and their students and to get close to them. Mashma D'Kemosha HaMitzvah Lidaveg B'Chachamim K'mokein HaMitzvah Lidaveg Gam B'Chavraya Shel Talmidei Chachamim. It's also a mitzvah to get close with people who are friends with Talmidei Chachamim. V'yadua, here's the main sentence, U'mikuval, asher echad mechaye derech habal shem tov zchuso yagen aleinu, shekeerko haram shel inyan hahitkashrut larav. Just like there is such a high value in connecting yourself to a rabbi, Kain gam inyan hitkashrut lechevruta. There is the same high value in connecting yourself to a friend. Vehi kitrufat pele. It can be such an incredible medicine. It can be a wonderful medicine. Medicine, trufa is medicine, pele is wonderful. Lechol ha'inyanim hakashim. To everything that's difficult for you, to every difficult situation in your life, she'ein adam misugal lahasigam b'kolchot atzmo. You can't do it on your own. There are certain things that you can't do on your own. Ve'al yedei hahitkashrut lechevruta niftachim b'fanav kol hashe'arim begila verina. By doing it with a friend, instead of going at it alone, the whole issue changes. It is amazing how lofty spiritual achievements that seem virtually impossible for an individual to attain can become almost simple when striven together with friends. We know that psychologically, it's true on a physical level. You could be standing at the bottom of a mountain, and you think, oh, I can't climb up this mountain. And then your friend comes along and says, let's do it together. And all of a sudden, okay, I think I can handle it. We're going to do it together. And that is certainly true, says the Nisi V'Shalom, when it comes to spiritual goals. We see how a chevra, how a community, how a group can take a group of people who each of them were doing their own thing and unify them, and they can accomplish incredible things when together with a friend they say, let's go do that together. Come on, let's go, let's volunteer, you watch it with your children, Baruch Hashem, you watch it in your own neighborhoods, and you see how with their friends it is unbelievable how much they can accomplish. Okay, fine. You convinced me. I want friends. How do I get them? What do I do? Source number 5. The Rambam, in Hilchos Deos, actually gives us instructions what we should do if we really want to have friends. Mitzvah al kol adam le'ehov es kol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael kegufo. She'ne'emar ve'ahavta l'reyecha kamocha. We have to work hard to really try to love each and every member of Klal Yisrael. As it says, v'ahavta l'reyecha kamocha. What should I do? He gives 3 very practical suggestions. Number 1. Lefichach tzarich lesaper b'shivcho. We are obligated to speak well of our fellow Jews. Give compliments. Don't be afraid to give a compliment. Sometimes you tell your friend, right? Sometimes you'll be at a wedding and you'll say to your friend, I love her dress. Go and tell her. Don't just tell your friend, go over and say, that's beautiful. You look great. Don't only tell other people. Go over and tell the person themselves. Rambam puts this under the category of a mitzvah. That it's a mitzvah to go lesaper b'shivcho, to go and compliment somebody. We know that every day in Ashrei, 3 times a day, we say lehodia livnei ha'adam gvurasav. Go tell bnei adam their gvuros. Go tell people how great they are. If they did something, give them a call, pick up the phone, and tell them what a great job they did. Number 2. V'lachus al mamono ka'asher huchas al mamon atzmo. Care for each other's material needs. Just like you care for your own needs, just like obviously you know that you need certain things, make sure to care about other people's physical needs. Be concerned about others' monetary situations. And this is not necessarily talking about giving tzedakah. This is talking about farginning each other, not wanting what the other person has, being happy for their material success, saving people from a loss, rejoicing in other people's good fortune. I'm so happy for you that you were able to do that. I'm so happy you were able to buy that. I'm so happy you were able to, and really meaning it. And number 3, v'rotze b'chvod atzmo. Giving other people the kavod that they deserve. So you'll raise your hand and you'll say, I don't need kavod. I don't need kavod. I'm okay. So I think that the 2011 definition of kavod is not necessarily respect. I think something we all need is validation, appreciation, acknowledgement. Nobody wants to be in a room and be ignored. Nobody. Nobody wants to walk into a place where they don't know anybody and stand there. I mean, we've all been there, right? I've moved a number of times in my life. I remember coming to a new neighborhood, that first time you go to shul, or that first time you go to your children's tea at your daughter's school, and you're waiting for someone to come over. And you're looking around, and it's What an incredible mitzvah, says the Rambam. He doesn't say this is a suggestion. He says this is a mitzvah to go over and give a person validity. Don't ignore someone who looks new, who looks at a wedding, etc. Someone sits down at your table and doesn't know anybody. These are such simple suggestions, and the Rambam says that they're all mitzvos, which is unbelievable. Another suggestion as to how to be a good friend is in Mishle. That's source number 6. In Mishle it says, Mechase pesha, mevakesh ahava. If you are a mevakesh ahava, if you're somebody who really wants there to be love in the world, mechase pesha, cover up what other people do. Don't always bring up the things that they do. Mechase, cover it up, move on. Shone b'davar, if you're going to keep repeating over and over, if you're going to harp on the matter, 10 years ago you did this and 15 years ago you did this, mafrid aluf, you're going to separate yourself from other people. Look at Rashi, which is source number 7. Mechase pesha mevakesh ava, im yechta ish le'ish. If somebody does something wrong to you, it happens. V'ze mechase alav, ve'einenu mazkir lo chataso, ve'eino mar elo panim zoamos, go rein lo sheyohavoso. If you just let it go and you move on, you will bring about ahava in the world. V'shone b'davar, I'm continuing Rashi, shenoter eva umazkir kach v'kach asita limiad. That's no netira, that's bearing a grudge. If you're going to bear a grudge and keep bringing up what the person did, mafrid aluf, you're going to separate yourself. And Rashi adds that alufir is alufo shel olam shehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to separate yourself from Hashem. It's not what Hashem wants from you. Hashem does not want you to be somebody who keeps bringing up this and keeps repeating it over and over again. Every year on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, one of the al-chaits that we clap is al-chait shechatanu lefanecha biyodim uvelo yodim. The ones that we knew about and the ones that we didn't know about. Obvious question, how can we be responsible for averas that were transgressed below yodim? How can we be responsible if I didn't even know? In the book, Carry Me in Your Heart, I don't know if any of you read it, it's such a beautiful book. It's a very, very inspirational biography about Sarah Shanira, the founder of the Beis Yaakov movement. In this book, she writes that one of the teachers in her seminary taught the following idea. His name was Rabbi Yehuda Leib Orlean, and he taught the following idea. He says, and I think about this all the time on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, below yodim means averas of not caring to know. He said to his students, and I quote, we live in a world where everyone is so wrapped up in themselves. He's only concerned with his own problems. He's oblivious to everyone else's. He doesn't care to know what others need. You live in an apartment. The neighbor below you is ill and alone. She needs bread and milk and someone to keep her company. You pass her door and rush down the stairs. You, quote, did not know she needed your help. But you should have known. You should have knocked on her door, asked her how she is, and determined what she needs. You're in the street. To be able to help, you have to know what's going on around you. A child is lost. Someone cries in distress. An old lady is confused. Someone needs help crossing the street. An older woman carrying a heavy load needs help. And so on. You are obligated to know. You have to do tshuva and ask Hashem forgiveness for the weighty avera of not knowing. It's your duty to care and to know where and when your help is needed. And of course, this is something I try so hard to give over to my students, that they should look and notice if someone's sitting by themselves at lunch, at a Shabbaton. They should include people in their conversation and not have a tight circle and not realize that someone is over there and can't hear what you're saying. And we certainly can apply it as well. there is a phenomenal piece that I'd love to read to you that many of you will be able to relate to in terms of what the best way to do chesed is. And this is from a book called Mirrors and Windows by Malki Feig. It's a piece she wrote called Blind Spot. And in it she says, "Sometimes I wonder if there's an unwritten script mothers the world over go by, or perhaps it's just in our house. Why is the empty tissue box sitting on the toilet, I sigh, as I toss the box into the wastebasket? When you see that the tissues are finished, you replace the box. I don't know why I haven't given up yet. It must be that inborn maternal optimism. Perhaps, I reason, if I repeat the rule often enough, it may actually penetrate. My progeny, though, disproved my hypothesis. It isn't that they don't know the rule, or even that they've forgotten. It isn't that they don't believe in throwing things away, or that they don't want to pitch in. It's just that they didn't see. Didn't see that the tissues were finished, simple as that. It's not only tissue boxes. It's missing buttons, loose covers, dripping containers, overflowing vacuum cleaner bags, unlined garbage cans, towels strewn on the bathroom floor. Nobody means to leave them missing, dripping, or sticky. Nobody deliberately wants to break the vacuum cleaner, soil the garbage can, or step on the towel. They just didn't see. Didn't see there was no bag in the garbage can. Didn't see the towel was on the floor. Sincerely and honestly, didn't see. But you stepped on it, I moan in exasperation. How can you step on something and not see it? They look at me contrite and a little dumbfounded. I stepped on a towel? At that point, I know that anything I say will be futile, but I can't help it. How come I'm the only one who sees things in this house? I mutter as I shake the towel and emphatically smooth it over the rod so it will stay there for a while. You have to learn to look. The words always strike a familiar chord. They seem to echo after me a trifle mockingly, like I'd have heard them somewhere before. I have. Many hundreds of empty tissue boxes ago, I have. Same scene, same script, different role. I was the child then. Carefree, happy little girl, sprinting out of the light blue tiled bathroom without a burden in the world. Who paid a thought to cardboard toilet paper tubes when there's so many more exciting things going on? My mother, I guess. Come back, I remember her calling after me. Do you see something you forgot? Forgot? I stuck my head into the bathroom, puckered my face, bewildered. My friends were calling me. What could I have forgotten in the bathroom? When you see that the toilet paper is finished, you throw out the tube and put on a new roll, my mother reminded me patiently. I was halfway down the stairs already. Oh, I blurted an apology. I didn't see it was finished. That's the problem, I'd hear my mother moan to herself, more to herself than to me. Why am I the only one who sees things? Why indeed? It wasn't until, it all changed, writes the author, when I became a mother. It wasn't a matter of vision. I found quickly enough it was a matter of supervision. It wasn't sight, it was foresight. When you're the one in charge, you learn to see rather well. When you're going to have to scrub that garbage can, you look before you dump an oily tuna can full of peels. When you're the one who contends with the stains, you notice that the apron is torn, that the ices are dripping, that the sticky black book on the park bench. Kids are busy. They've got papers to cut, dolls to dress, collections to count and organize. They've got friends to impress, promises to keep, choirs to practice for. Not to worry, though. All kids grow up, for better or for worse, despite and albeit their parents' worries. All kids eventually learn to see. And contrary to what we would like to believe, it has very little to do with their mother's tirades. Give them a few days in a brand new apartment of their own, and wonder of wonders, they'll be picking up the shoes, closing the lights, refilling the water in the pitcher. Give them a few years and they'll be repeating your refrain. There's nothing like responsibility to do the trick. Yes, all kids grow up where tissue boxes and towels are concerned. It's frightening, however, how many of us can remain frozen in childhood oblivion where people and circumstances stand. I didn't see, we claim. I didn't know. Didn't see that the person who usually sits next to me in shul was absent for the past 3 weeks. Didn't notice there was a new family on the block. Didn't know they were struggling with parnasa, that their daughter needed a shidduch or the mother was bedridden all winter. I really would have done something. Honestly, I would have. But I didn't know. We're each individuals and we're each part of a bigger picture. We teach in schools, we attend functions, we daven in shuls, we belong to a family, a neighborhood, a community, we belong to Klal Yisrael. It behooves us to see the tension behind the terse manner, to see the pain behind the taut smile, to see those who are there and those who are not there, and those who are there but not there. It behooves us to notice when a neighbor is going through a crisis, when a student's begging for recognition, when a colleague is in need of support. It's so easy to get wrapped up in our own affairs. Like the kids, we're busy. We've got appointments, lessons to prepare, simchas to attend, houses to run, jobs to maintain, our immediate families to care for. It isn't any wonder that sometimes we don't see. But like all good mothers can tell you, you have to learn to look. Very few people wave a red flag when they're in crisis. Very few individuals will phone to ask you for a meal, a phone call, or a visit. But if you take that moment before you run off, if you pause to look, you may see an empty box silently pleading for a refill. Seeing isn't a matter of vision. When you're in charge, you see. When you feel personally responsible for the family called Klal Yisrael, you learn to look. You learn to pick up on cues, notice leads, you learn to listen for the subtle nuances that tell you there's something you can do. And you try to do that something. Doesn't have to be something big. Pick up a telephone, jot a note, send over some salad, some cakes, some flowers, offer to run an errand, pick up some bread and milk, babysit for an hour. If you can't offer anything else, then smile. But don't say, I didn't see. Because Avas Yisrael is the belief that we all belong to one family, and seeing is believing. So that's certainly something very, very important to keep in mind. And I'd like you now to look at source number 14. Source number 14 is a pasuk from Devarim, and it says there, "Ki pasoach tiftach es yadchalo." It's talking about giving tzedakah, and it says you should open your hands generously. "Ve'ha'avet ta'avitenu dei machsoro asher yechsar lo." You should give him whatever is lacking to him, asher yechsar lo. And look at Rashi in source number 15. Afilu sus lirchov alav ve'eved larutz lefanav. Even a horse to ride on and a servant to run before him. One of the greatest things we need to do is to try to think what the other person needs. Rashi says it right here. Give him what he lacks according to his individual needs. There is an adorable story, I'm sure many of you have heard it, about a man who would go out early in the morning to pick up his newspaper from the end of his driveway, and he noticed that his newspaper looked red. It looked used. And he thought that was a little funny. It looked a little wrinkled. It didn't look like that crisp way we like to get a newspaper. And so, okay, it happened one day, happened 2 days. He decided he's going to look out the window and see what's going on. And he noticed that his elderly neighbor was taking his newspaper first, reading it, and then sticking it back in the wrapper and putting it back there. I mean, that's Geneva. He's stealing my newspaper. I like to get a crisp newspaper in the morning. I don't like that he's reading my newspaper first. So he went to his rabbi, and he told his rabbi the story. He said, right, it's Geneva? What should I do? I mean, he should have to pay me for these newspapers. And the rabbi said, you know what you should do? You should buy him his own subscription. That's what he obviously needs. How much is it going to cost you? Get him a subscription. Think about what the other person is lacking and give them what they need. Now, there is one group of people that we can't forget about when we're talking about friendship and giving and being adam l'chaveiro, and that's our own families. There is a great pasuk in Yeshayahu that says, I forgot to include it, but I'll just read it to you. Halo paros lara'ev lachmecha. You should give bread to those who are hungry. Ve'aniyim merudim tavi bayis. And bring poor people into your house. Ki tir'eh aron v'chisiso. If you see someone who doesn't have clothing, you should certainly give them clothing. Umi bisarcha lo tis'alam. But don't forget about your own family. That is this beautiful pasuk in Yeshayahu, Nun Ches Zayin. We know sometimes we get so caught up with everybody else that we make these beautiful suppers
for the lady who had a baby and the lady Nebuch who's sitting Shiva, and then the kids say, what's for supper? And you say, take some frozen pizza out of the free, you know, stick it in the microwave. And right, we know that we should certainly make sure that our children and our husbands and our family members should get, certainly we should be looking at them also and thinking, what do they need? What do they want? What is it that I could help them with right now? I'd like to end with the following thought. Every day in davening, in many different places, we ask Hashem, Shema Koleinu. Hashem, please listen to my voice. And that's an interesting thing to ask Hashem. You'd think we'd ask Hashem to listen to our words, right? Why my voice? And the answer is that sometimes when I go to daven, I'm so fatshaded. I have so much on my head. I have so many things. I don't even know exactly how to verbalize what I want. So I say to Hashem, Hashem, could you listen to my inner voice? Because you, even when I can't verbalize it, you know what I want. And this is an incredibly powerful idea every time we daven. This is the way we have to listen to the people that are close to us. We have to listen to their voices, not only to their words. We have to listen and think, what is it that she really, really wants? What is it that I can really, really help her with? And if each person will do that, we will certainly be zocheh to bring Mashiach b'mehera b'yameinu.